This is Food for Thought. Call Carol at 866-823-1077. And now, it's Food for Thought.
Good afternoon, and welcome back to Food for Thought with Carol. And joining me is Jeannie Lester. We are on 107.7 WTPL in the Concord, Manchester, and Lakes region, as well as streaming all around the world on WTPLFM.com, which is powered by the Granite State Dairy Promotion. And anytime during the show, you can give us a call at 866-823-1077. We'd love to hear of a new place that may be opening up, or a new place you've eaten at, or a recipe you'd like to share, or if you just want to chat with us. Again, the number is 866-823-1077. We'd also like to welcome our live audience here to the Beacon Building. We're right in downtown Manchester. We're at 814 Elm Street. If you still haven't had lunch and you're walking by the sidewalk right now, you can just pop right into the doors and come have lunch at Midtown Cafe, and you can have a ringside seat to the show. I like saying
I know you do. It kills me every time. So, I mean, we are having an adventure today for sure, but I'm not sure, you know, ringside. I don't know. I guess it wouldn't have to be a fighting ring.
It's ringside, right?
It is. It is.
Well, okay. What else?
I don't know. What else do you say? I don't know. Front row?
Rail side.
Rail side is better than ringside.
Rail side?
Well, rail side sounds like you're on a ship getting sick.
Train or something.
Yeah, it's not good. Yeah, I don't like rail side either. We'll have to
come and have lunch in the atrium and watch the show.
But yeah, that doesn't have the punch that you give when you say ringside,
though. So then let me just
All right,
say ringside.
I will. All right. I hereby deem it acceptable. Which I'm sure is what you were waiting for.
Yes, I was. Thank you.
No. Yes. Yes.
So,
you know what I'm thinking about?
What are you thinking about?
Maple syrup.
Oh,
no. Something much better that takes almost as much time as making soup. Making syrup.
Yum.
I know. So hopefully in the very near future, we will be talking to someone in depth about the whole process and the ins and outs of that, because there is so much, you know, probably many of us went on tours of sap houses when we were kids, or, you know, some of us when we were older kids, but to really grasp the whole process is amazing. And then to think about how many people, how many individuals do it just as a backyard, you know, just for their family.
They do. And I think there's like a few people that do that.
Yes.
I think yeah.
My cousin is one of them. Yes, it must be. And actually, my mom's husband used to do that, and he would tap the trees and you'd see the buckets out there, and there was quite a process, and the product was really good, the end product. But the amount of sap you have to collect, of course, to boil down and make the syrup is amazing. And then the different grades of the syrup. And then it's such a treat even now to have real maple syrup, which is the only kind now that I'll eat. But when we were kids, like, my parents would buy the real maple syrup, and they were just as happy that we thought just, you know, Aunt Jemima or, yeah, ours was, what was it, Vermont, or I don't know, Maple Cabin or something like that.
Not Mrs.
Vermont
Butterworth.
Made. No, it was Vermont. No, Vermont we had made. Vermont made.
And we had the lady. Mrs.
You did?
Butterworth.
Oh, see, that was too advanced for us.
Oh,
we just had Vermont made.
It wasn't advanced, trust me.
Yours had a little figure. You could use it as a toy after. I don't know. We just had the yucky kid syrup, and we were so grossed out at the thought that our parents could try to give us that real maple syrup in a jug. And then we got old enough to realize
that was the
they were holding
stuff.
Out. Yes, they were holding back and, you know, selfishly containing all the good stuff. Yeah. So,
yeah, no, that, you know, well, we were kids. We didn't know any better. We just thought that the, you know, Aunt Jemima and the Butterworths and Vermont made well.
Yes.
Well, you know what? Like Ray was just saying, that's the branding.
Yes.
You know what I mean? It branded in our heads.
Right.
I mean, I still look at the Mrs. Butterworth bottle
and you go,
oh,
nostalgic. See, I do that with Vermont made. I get kind of nostalgic.
Yeah.
I won't buy it because I want the good stuff now that I'm
right.
old enough. But
it's true. And it tastes so much better.
Yeah,
really
it does. But my kids are the same way. They don't like, my little guys don't like real maple syrup. They want the icky, yeah, cheap stuff, which is fine.
That's funny. You know, we're going to go on break right now because we have Julie Barron, and she has two guests with her, too. So I'm anxious
Excellent.
To see who she has in the green room.
Beautiful.
So we're going to go on our break right now, and we'll be back with Julie Barron, Make-A-Wish, New Hampshire. Stay tuned.
Food for Thought returns after these messages on 107.7 The Pulse.
for Thought with Carol. And joining me is Jeannie Lester. We are live at the Beacon Building at 814 Elm Street. And if you are still haven't eaten lunch and you're walking by on the sidewalk, you can pop on in. And you still have plenty of time to come on in and watch us ringside.
Our new terminology.
Like you want to say that. She thinks it sounds like you're
sounds so adversarial. It. Yes.
Okay. And joining us right now is Julie Barron. She is the president and CEO of Make-A-Wish New Hampshire. And you have some guests with you today. So I'm excited to hear about it. So welcome.
Yes, it's great to be here again. And I'd love to introduce you all to Maddie and Beverly. Maddie is one of our wish children who now actually helps us out in the office. And so does Beverly, who is actually Maddie's grandmother.
Oh, my gosh. How wonderful is that? You know, when did you have your wish, Maddie?
Back in 2001.
Okay.
So quite a long time ago.
Yeah.
I was only four at the time, and I didn't get back involved with Make-A-Wish until I was in high school, freshman in high school. But now I've been with them for like 7 years.
So what do you do with them? Like, what do you, like, when did you decide, you know what, geez, I want to start doing something with Make-A-Wish? Like, how did that kind of come about?
Honestly, it started as like a community service requirement for high school. We had to get hours. And I talked to my mom and I said, you know, where do you think would be a good place to volunteer? I've always liked volunteering and I was always a part of like cancer walks and everything like that. And she said, why don't we get involved with Make-A-Wish? And she works downtown in Manchester. And so she said, all right, let's go to the office. And we just kind of started going to events and helping fundraise and volunteering a little bit of our time. And now just become a second family. And whenever I'm home on breaks from college or anything like that, I just stop in and do whatever they need me to do.
That is wonderful. Oh, my goodness. Yeah. So you had your wish when you were four.
Mm-hmm.
And what did you do? Like, what was your wish?
I went on a Disney cruise with my whole family, which was a huge like thing because I have a family of five plus my grandparents. And I got to meet the captain and all like the Disney characters and everything like that, and kind of had the royal treatment. So it was quite amazing. And it was, I think, 7 days on a cruise. So that was huge because my family had been going through a lot, dealing with my cancer and like just being in hospital a lot. And so getting away from that for 7 whole days was truly a blessing.
Right. Can you tell us a little bit about that, you know, before the wish?
Yeah. So I was diagnosed with anaplastic large cell lymphoma when I was four. And it was stage 3, so I wasn't given a very high chance of living. And we actually moved out to Boston area because the home that I was living in Michigan, the hospital just wasn't advanced enough to kind of take care of my disease at its level. And so they kind of sent me home on hospice, and my parents didn't really take that as an answer. And so we moved out here and began treatment at Boston Children's and got introduced to Make-A-Wish and got my wish granted and kind of moved all around and eventually got my cancer back into remission. But a lot of the time was spent in the hospital, or, you know, if a fever came up, I was back in the hospital, and I skipped a lot of school. My sister skipped a lot of things. Just growing up, and we kind of just had that family reunion when we got our wish.
Now let's go back to when you were four and you had the wish ambassador. That's what it's called, right, Julie? Did I say it correctly?
The wish granter.
Wish granter. Sorry.
Came in. Yep.
What was Patrick? He's a
wish child, so he's a wish ambassador now. He talks about
Okay. So the wish granter. Now when they came to your house and you're four, did you know right away what you wanted to do, or did you think about it, or how did you?
I mean, honestly, it was kind of just like, I don't know, I just want to take a vacation. My mom was like, you know, you can go anywhere you want, you can do anything. And I was like, oh, no, I just want to do something. And so she was like, well, what do you like the most? And I was like, well, Disney. And we'd already been to Disney World. And so they said, you know, what about a Disney cruise? And my mom was like, oh, I think she'd love that. And I was like, oh, you mean like I'd get to go like on the water and be with the Disney characters and all stuff. And so it kind of just like evolved into like, I didn't really know what I wanted, but I knew I wanted to be around Disney, and Make-A-Wish kind of evolved and made it extra special. So they play around with wishes a lot. I feel like that you give them a kind of like a basic idea of what you want, and then they go above and beyond and give you more than you could ever need.
That's what I hear all the time. We had Patrick with us last week, and you know, listening to him and listening to you, and listening to the part where, you know, you decided, you know, you wanted to do some volunteering, and now Make-A-Wish is like your part of your family.
Oh, yeah, 100%. I mean, I know I can walk into the office at any point in time and I'm getting hugs from Julie and Donna and everyone just running up and I'm like, hi, nice to see you too. And I don't care if it's, you know, signing envelopes or putting stamps on things. It's just fun to be there and be a part of everyone. Everyone has such a positive attitude and just like really nice group to be a part of.
Yeah. So and nice. I don't think they realize how much of an impact it has on us and how much of a help it is to us.
It is. I mean, it goes all the way around. I mean, from the wish, you know, granter to the person that is giving the wish, you know, like the Disney Cruise Line to, you know, there's just so many assets to it, you know, facets to it, not facets to it.
Yeah. Assets too.
And what Maddie's not telling you, the part of the story is so in between the time where she had her wish and then she wasn't as involved, she was, you know, busy growing up. I came aboard Make-A-Wish. And when I first walked into the office and started doing different things, there was this picture of this child that resonated with me. And if you go back to any of our literature in the areas of 2004, when I came to Make-A-Wish, everything had Maddie's picture on it. And I knew this name, Maddie, but I hadn't met Maddie. I didn't know her. And then fast forward all these years, she stepped back into my life and I felt like I've always known her. And it was her picture that gave me all of my inspiration when I first came to Make-A-Wish. So Maddie's pretty special.
I just got shivers down my back. I really did. You know that, you know, Julie, you are, you know, we talk about, you know, the Wish Kids and, you know, your employees and you know, and all that. I mean, you are really something special, you know.
Oh,
I mean, to work
really
for
is.
You, I, you know, I can tell that she is. I mean, each week we're getting to know Julie a little bit more and more, and you're very special. I can see that with, you know, with the kids that we've talked to and you know, just your employees upstairs, and everybody has a great time, and you know.
Yeah, you have to be you have to have a good time at what you do, you know, and to be able to bring joy into people's lives is so incredibly special. And to be able to do something so very important for them, you know, that it makes it kind of fun to do all those little extra touches.
Yeah. I think that's the best part is that you know that the people you're working with absolutely adore you already, and they want to do anything they can to your wish the best. And so that's like a really magical experience when you walk into an office and you know everyone there is going to put in their 150% to make sure that your life is better.
Exactly. Now, you mentioned you have a sibling, you have a sister.
I have two older sisters.
Two older sisters.
Yes.
So, and they were obviously involved in the wish
and all that.
So that must have made them feel special because I'm sure when you were going through all those medical treatments and such, they get, you know, kind of schlepped around.
So, like I said, I was born in Michigan, and they kind of had to just pack up everything they owned. And my parents decided, you know, we're moving to Boston, your sister's sick, and we have to get her better. And they didn't complain once. They said, okay, you know, we love Maddie. We're not going to let her, you know, just lose this battle. And so they picked up everything. They left their friends, they left their schools and everything they had known so well and grown up in, and just moved. And they continued to move, and they lived with my grandparents, so my parents would be at the hospital with me, and they just kind of gave away their whole childhood in an aspect that just to make me feel better.
Yeah.
And so like being able to even give them that, you know, 7-day vacation away was even more of a wish to me. It was a wish to them too, because
exactly.
They finally got to be,
they were being paid attention to.
Exactly. You know, they finally had that.
The spotlight was always on you, and then it, you know.
And then it was on all of us. And we were a family as one, and it wasn't just, oh, Maddie's sick. It was like, oh, we're going on a family vacation, not just we're going to the hospital to see Maddie.
I had a son also that received a wish, not through Make-A-Wish, but, you know, same, through High Hopes Foundation. Mm-hmm. And the same thing. We lived a little bit away, and we needed to move. And, you know, his younger brother, Tyler, you know, it really affects the siblings. It really does.
Oh, 100%, yeah.
It definitely does. And they go stay with grandmas and aunts and uncles and, you know, all that. They get schlepped all over the place. And, you know, you think that they're okay. And, you know, I mean, they are for the most part okay. You know that they're safe and they're, you know, they're good. But it's a big thing.
No, they sacrifice a lot.
They sacrifice a lot. Mm-hmm. They totally do. They definitely do. I'd love to talk to Grandma.
Yes.
Can I talk to Grandma? Because let's talk a little bit about your grandma and why she's here with you.
So my grandma is, for one, my, like, hero. She would actually suffered lymphoma as well. And so we're kind of the cancer people in the family. And so we connect the most. We have the same mind, same body, same soul kind of thing going on. And so she's just been, like, my rock through everything. So anytime I have a problem, I know she's the only one that understands.
Mm-hmm.
And so having her one on my wish was amazing because she is someone that I completely relied on. And she was with me in the hospital every night. And so I couldn't imagine going on a vacation where I didn't have someone. I mean, sometimes, you know, grandparents are just grandparents. And sometimes grandparents are your second mothers and they're, you know, your second fathers and they're your best friends and they're people that are there for you 110%.
My son Jesse and my mother were exactly that. I mean, very, very, very close, like kindred spirits.
Yep, exactly.
Know, very much so. Yeah, so I understand. I can see that.
Absolutely.
And I understand that. Yes.
And she's my hero. Oh, my gosh. Everything that she has been through, you know, and she's always got this smile on her face and the great attitude. And
I'm sure she probably has never complained, right?
No.
Ever, ever.
I don't know about that.
No. She was, and she went through so much. She went through a stem cell transplant, you know, and she had to lay in the hospital bed 8 hours and not move while they, you know, got the blood from her and then divided it up into stem cells and platelets and never complain. Yep. And so anytime if I have to go in for an MRI or some kind of test, I never worry. If Maddie can do this.
Right.
I can do it.
I know. I go in to give blood, and I'm like, I mean, you know, it doesn't really bother me. But you know when you're sitting in the chair and they're ready to do it?
Right.
And then I'll think of that. It's like, give me a break, Carol. Really?
Right.
I mean, you know?
I do the same thing. Yeah, but the Disney cruise was wonderful, and I didn't feel that Grandpa and I should go. But, you know, Maddie was insistent that we all go, and it was just, you know, the thrill of a lifetime. And as soon as I got back, we lived in Michigan, but we lived near Toledo, Ohio. So as soon as I got back, I wanted to give back to Make-A-Wish. And I had contacted them, and for some reason, you know, I never heard from them, and life went on. But then my husband and I moved out here in July, and it was my chance to give back. And I love volunteering there, and, you know, even though I maybe some days just do envelopes, it's just they're wonderful. They're wonderful in the gift they give and the children that receive them. It's remarkable.
And now you're able to, you know, if you're upstairs volunteering, you're able to like share the other kids, you know, wishes.
Absolutely.
Too, and you meet the other kids, and so that must be really special.
It is. Yeah. Very special.
So you just moved back. You just moved here in this past July.
Yes.
Okay. All
yes,
right.
My husband is ill. And so we ended up moving in with Maddie's mother and dad. We have our own apartment in the basement. But, you know, Maddie and I, as she said, we've always been close. So even though I lived in Michigan and she lived out here, I mean, we saw each other frequently. And, yeah, I'm very, very lucky.
Yeah, I definitely wouldn't have been able to make it through without her. She's been a huge, huge supporter. I mean, I have my mom, my dad, and my sisters who have been amazing. But to have someone that shares that experience with you is like, it's unbelievable.
And we're able to talk cancer talk, you know?
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
And no one else understands.
Nobody,
exactly.
No one understands unless you've been there.
That's right. Wow.
That is amazing. I mean, it's so touching, not only to hear you talk about that bond. I mean, first of all, with your family, the whole family, and going on that vacation. And, you know, there's something symbolic also about a cruise, and somebody shared this with me once when I went on my very first cruise. All of your troubles are on land, and then the ship pulls away, leaving it all behind. There's just something, and you're
seriously
all together there.
Yeah.
Did you feel?
Oh, I did, 100%. And for the first time in a long time, because I'd spent so much time in the hospital and away from school, I felt like a kid. Mm-hmm. I mean, I was eating ice cream and I was running around, and you just like, you don't get like the look of like, oh, like, you have to go back and get vitals done. Do you have to get your antibiotics now? Like, it's just like, it was complete freedom from everything that had been locking me down on shore.
That is. There's that combination of factors, as well as, like you said, just having the whole family be able to experience that too. And again, and this probably played out for you folks as well. You have two sisters, and you were there on the ship for probably a week.
Mm-hmm.
There had to be one time that you guys maybe didn't get along. And for one, you know, person that I talked to, she said that was the best thing that mother ever saw was to see us fighting.
Oh, yeah.
Because everything was okay then.
Seriously.
Yes. Grandma saying, yes.
Back to normal.
Yeah, exactly.
And then also that bond between the two of you that is so special. And Certainly, I'm sure there have been a lot of things that you would not have wished for with any of the treatments that you've gone through. But to look at the positive that came out of having that bond between the two of you,
oh,
I mean, how precious is that?
Yeah. Yes.
Can't be replaced. Yeah. Priceless, as you say. Right?
Yep. And then to be working now, coming back and working with Make-A-Wish again.
Yeah, and I 100% believe that everything happens for a reason. And and to be in, like, I wouldn't want to be anywhere else. I love being involved with Make-A-Wish. I love doing what I do. And, you know, to give up, you know, a little bit of sadness and stuff, it just wouldn't be worth it in the end because I've just gained so much love and support from it.
Now, are you both in remission right now?
Yep. You are.
Yep, I am.
I actually was recently re-diagnosed in December with my lymphoma again. So I'm currently not. I'm on chemo again. But I was for 3 years.
Okay.
So I'm still going.
She was on a medicine that kind of kept it at bay until, to me, this new medicine that was what we've been waiting for, what we've been praying for. And so it had been in a lot of clinical trials. And probably just in the last year, it was approved for her type of cancer, and I feel very confident. I feel this is the cure we've been praying for.
Good.
And that the other medicine kept it at bay long enough for this to come into being.
Exactly. Like you said, everything happens for a reason.
Exactly.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
Wonderful. Wonderful.
Yes.
Wow.
It is. It's just so neat to also see y'all working together and now in a position where you can help the other kids that
100%.
Are kind of at, yeah.
And the kids are, I mean, I don't, obviously I have a very different perspective being a child, a wish child, and, you know, seeing everyone help you out and stuff. And now being that for another child is amazing.
It must be.
It is so amazing. And the kids that come in there are, I mean, Julie and my grandma can attest to it, are adorable. I'm like, oh, can I take him home? I guess, please, like, somebody give me this child. They're so happy. They're so, and I'm sure maybe I was the same way, but it's different because I didn't see myself. So now I'm kind of seeing myself in these new children, and I'm just like, wow, like, what
an experience.
Gifts. Oh, yeah. And they're amazing.
You know, I'd like to add one thing Maddie hasn't said, but she recently handled this entire, and she goes to UVM, and for Children's Miracle Network. And she was the one that headed up this entire dance-a-thon. And
wow.
She did that.
Yeah.
Wow.
To see her with pictures of these little children and dancing with them. And she's quite the fundraiser, let me tell you.
Good
that's
for
great.
You.
Yeah, she did great. It all. And we're telling her to slow down because, you know, she's on chemo now. And she's into nuclear medicine at University of Vermont and then takes on this leadership role for Children's Miracle Network.
Good
so,
for you.
I'm so proud of her.
So now
you're
just kicking back and taking it easy.
An amazing young woman.
How, let me how put old Julie you? Back on.
I'm 20 years old.
Look how young she looks.
You do, yes.
Yeah.
Beautiful
you're beautiful,
complexion.
Yes.
Well, And the other thing, now that Julie's coming back on, you know, we kind of talked about, you know, you watching the other kids and having this kind of maternal instinct come out. I'm watching Julie as she's watching both of you talk about your experiences. And every time it's like Julie has this proud, you know, like I love to be part of this family.
I'm so proud of them. They are absolutely amazing.
So is Julie. What amazing lady.
It's a great team.
I love doing this segment because we learn more and more. We're meeting new people with Make-A-Wish, you know, and for listeners out there, Julie, people that want to, you know, become involved with Make-A-Wish, they are able to, correct?
Oh, absolutely.
So can you let people know how to do that again?
Just give our office a call, go on our website, text us, email us, you know, whatever your best form of transportation is. And then we'll talk to you a little bit and walk you through and let you know some of the different volunteer opportunities that we do have. You know, we have, you know, whether you want to be an ambassador for us and go out and speak about us, help out in the office, like Bevan and Maddie do. And Maddie's also a Wish ambassador, too. And those, you know, those they go out and speak and help share. And then
their
Wish
experience.
Their experience. So we have ambassadors that aren't Wish Children and ambassadors
right.
that are Wish Children.
Right.
And then, you know, we also have those amazing event hosts out in the community who raise money through their clubs, organizations, do different kinds of events for us. And then we have those wish granters that we talk about all the time. Mm-hmm. And those
wish granter.
Yeah, it is amazing.
Yeah. Yes.
Yeah. And we do. I mean, we have some wonderful training programs for our volunteers. So by the time they're ready to go out and be with the family and sit down with them, you know, they've kind of gone through a little bit of a process and they're comfortable with that because that's the first question I get.
Right. Exactly. Yeah. Well, thank you so much for coming on, and thank you
for
bringing
having
Maddie
us.
And Beverly. That was I'm so nice to meet you. That was really wonderful, and we'll see you next week.
See you next week.
All right. You're listening to Food for Thought, and don't forget, everybody, it is Ken Kale's 500th show today, and you know, stay tuned. Food for Thought will be right back.
Food for Thought returns after these messages on 107.7 The Pulse.
Food for Thought. Sorry, Jeannie. Welcome back to Food for Thought. We are live at the Beacon Building at 814 Elm Street, and that was a great segment.
It sure was. We are certainly very live. Yes.
Yes. Yes.
Not only a great segment, but yeah, a lot of excitement now.
There
we're transitioning
is a lot of excitement.
Into. We've got some great folks in the green room and spilling into the studio. A very important part of Kale & Company.
J-Dub. And yes.
Good afternoon, ladies.
I know. I love that. Yes.
Made for radio.
So J-Dog and Bob Lippman are here to celebrate Ken's 500th show. And I see you have some cake in there, too.
Yep, an ice cream cake. Because I promised him on the 400th show, because we had a cake for the 400th show, but it wasn't an ice cream cake. I said, next time, Ken, he didn't remember, but next time in your 500th show, you're getting an ice cream cake, and it's going to say happy 500 shows. And true to my word, that's what it says.
Wow. So an ice cream cake is an upgrade from regular cake?
I think it is, yeah.
Okay.
For this occasion. Yeah, I don't usually do ice cream cakes because, you know, I'm trying to watch my weight and everything like that. But, you know, I don't want to do 2,000 push-ups in a day.
Especially after all the key lime pie you ate last night.
And alligator. And alligator.
Yeah. And alligator.
That's right,
and
yeah.
I still can't believe you ate all that alligator. I have to say I'm really surprised.
Because you saw the picture of it.
I did.
I consumed all of that. There was not one morsel left.
And you really, really liked it?
Yes, I did. Yep.
Oh,
that I did.
Man.
Yep. That I did.
Man.
And the key lime pie. Certainly, you know, I certainly liked that. So
we know you like that. And you especially like the one, only the one with the key lime on it.
Yes, and that was at the Gator Bites, the Gator place in Florida. So, but that was they also had the little slices of lemon too that I finished off that were near the Gator Bites also. So, yeah. So I like lemon, I like lime, I like key lime pie, and I like gator. There you go. Turning into a true Floridian.
Oh, boy, I guess. Unbelievable. So what is happening coming up next in Kale & Company?
I know he's got musical guests, and you've
I
seen them
see
in the
that.
Green room.
The green room is like packed.
Yeah, it is. It is.
Cool.
This is going to be a shindig.
It's going to be a shindig.
And he's got musical guests. I think he's got the angelic spirit, Colleen Costello.
Ooh.
He hasn't seen her since, I think, well, what year is this? No, in a very long time, because he's been on the road, and we've had weather problems, as you know.
Monarchs,
yeah. He's had other things, like the monarchs that he's had to do, and Colleen Costello, she's a busy lady, too.
Right.
So they're going to have that going on. I know we've got Better Senior Living going on today with Ann Purington of Presidential Oaks. And I know who that was. That's the man right there. Ken Kale just came into this studio.
In so the house.
We're talking about you in the most awful details. No, I'm just kidding.
Really?
Flattering
well,
details.
There are some pretty awful details, really.
No. Nothing but good stuff. 500 shows, Ken.
Ken Kale.
Well, let's put it this way. It's 500 shows for J-Dog.
Because I've been a part of all 500.
All 500.
He's been a part of like 462.
And I'll tell you what, we would never know it was 500 shows if it wasn't for J-Dog.
That's right. He is the counter.
You know that. Carol knows firsthand.
I do know that. I mean, 4.5 years every Sunday, he was the only one that was there every single one.
That's right.
With the exception of the second to last show that you had done, because I had a UNH women's hockey game to PA, where Andrew Van Ness, who's producing today's show, was producing that Food for Thought edition on Sunday. So,
but J-Dog has been a part of all 500. I've been there for maybe 300.
No, 460.
Did you hear 460?
He has the number. 462.
Yes. Yeah. Yes.
462.
Oh, my God.
So, there you go.
Well, we're going to have to adjust the cake numbers then. I mean, no, I saw there's like a 500 is going to be on that cake, which is probably the only time you'll see that on a cake. But really, yeah, maybe it should have been 462.
It's not as good.
Yeah.
462.
Okay. Yeah, I guess we wouldn't.
Kale hasn't been there for, you know, all 500, but the company has. The company has. Yeah.
Yes, the company has never strayed or gone to a Monarchs game.
That's true. Very true.
Yeah. Interesting. So, yeah, as you think back over these many episodes of Kale and Company, highlights that stand out.
Yeah, gaps. I think our well, we've had a lot of gaps. We have gaps almost every day, but we try to keep them covered up as much as possible.
Okay.
J-Dog does a good job in handling that.
Do what I can.
Yeah. But no, I don't know about too many gaps, but I think, honestly, the highlight came last week in the four shows we had from Florida.
It was awesome.
Had a great time down there. Had a lot of guests, and the weather was good for the most part. The last day we were there was kind of disappointing weather-wise. But I mean, there's a, you know, when you compare,
how unfortunate,
when you compare it to what it was here.
Yeah,
about 50 degrees warmer. So.
That's right.
But nonetheless, we had a great time at Red Sox spring training camp. But I mean, you know, all the regular guests who are so much a part of the program, and the musical guests that we bring on. We'll have some great musicians at the top of the show today. And that's really been the highlights for me, I think. The music, we try to span the globe in terms of politics and sports and entertainment. J-Dog has his box office report. Every week, of course.
People were clamoring for it. They were clamoring for it last week. They couldn't get it because we were in Fort Myers. I might have tried to sneak one in, but nah, it just wouldn't be right. Didn't want to take any of the guests' time. So I figured, you know what? They're 1 week, you know, we didn't get to do it for that week. I'm going to just come on all guns blazing, ready to go on Monday, and there you go. Like, never before. He gave a box office report like never before.
He made up for it yesterday,
that's
I'll
right.
tell you.
Wow.
He
gusto,
made up for it yesterday.
Gusto.
For sure.
Meaning, vigor, you know.
So thanks to all my guest hosts as well, much appreciated. And we look forward to another 500 and then some.
I think the highlights,
Kale and Company.
The highlights, I think, really are the music, because that's kind of what sets it apart. You know, it's more than just a talk show.
That's
right. You know what I mean?
That's right. That's
previous guests or previous hosts before you on that time slot didn't have that luxury. Now, with guests, not just on Thursdays, but today also, I think set that apart too. It's no more than just one day. It can be up to 2 to 3 days.
Absolutely. So, as many as possible.
That's right. That's
you know, the less work I have to do, the better, as far as I...
talk for... sing for 5 minutes, yeah.
I must say, Carol, I had my first Red Arrow Londonderry experience.
Did you?
On
did you
Friday, play? After I got off the plane in Boston. I was driving north, heading to the show, and stopped in at the Red Arrow in Londonderry. The place was packed. I think there were two seats at the counter, so I grabbed one of them and had the... steak and cheese bomb hash brown casserole. It was wonderful. Wonderful.
Isn't
as always, I love that.
Over there?
It is unbelievable. It truly is.
Yeah.
It truly is. I love it.
Oh,
I
good.
Love it.
I can't wait to see it. That's going to be awesome.
So it's going
to
be dangerous for me, though. And I, you know, I spend quite a bit of time in Massachusetts and sometimes drive up late at night. So it's going to be dangerous for me. I don't think I'll be able to pass that exit 5 anymore without
especially,
stopping in for something,
yes.
You know?
And even if you aren't convinced to get out of your car, you could do the drive-through.
Do the drive-through.
Yeah.
Which is twice
as
dangerous.
That's right. That's right. But I'd rather go in and relax
see
the great staff. I mean, you had to... Yeah. The staff there Friday was extremely great, and they always are at the Red Arrow. I'm not surprised. But now televisions in there.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yes.
Yeah.
We do have a couple televisions and a couple of the special boards. And
Yeah. It was
a little upgraded.
It's a great experience, and I love it. I really do, and looking forward to visiting many, many times.
Wonderful.
Yeah.
Wonderful. I'm so glad you went. That was great.
You know what? We did a lot of baseball talk last week, and certainly a lot of eating as well.
Oh,
been well documented.
You talk about eating.
I loved following that. That was very interesting.
The most amazing thing I found out all week long, Carol, was that you have never had a piece of key lime pie.
I know.
That's the most amazing thing I found out all last week.
That really stuck out, didn't it?
It really did.
The jaw dropped. I saw it. Yeah.
Like, I hope nobody told him that in the middle of one of these great interviews he was having, because that would throw anybody, the most seasoned professional,
it would have thrown me for a loop. It would
because it's just that shocking news.
It would have thrown me for a loop, but that was shocking. And I don't get it, Carol. I mean, you've been to Florida how many countless times?
I guess it's just not something that I'm not a big dessert person anyway. Okay. So I don't know. And lime, key lime, I don't know. But somebody who was yesterday that said it's kind of like lemon meringue pie. Do you agree with that,
Bob,
Jada?
Bob said that.
Yes.
Yesterday. That's right. Bob was saying that.
See, to me, because I'm not a big fan of lemon meringue pie. I don't like it. It's too, there's too much of the lemon. It's too tangy. Key lime is sort of a creamy blend, like a creamy, gentler blend of lime.
Mm-hmm. Gentler.
But you've had like key lime yogurt before. Key lime pie yogurt? No. Like fruit on the bottom? No.
It's very, you have to give it a shot, Carol.
It's really hard to describe, right?
It is, but it's outstanding. I love it. No, little whipped cream on the top. I think it's fabulous.
But then people say when you get it up here, it's not as good
maybe it's not
down in Florida.
Maybe it's not.
They say when you're going to have it, you need to have it down there.
I've had it in other places, but maybe the authentic Florida variety where they can get those genuine limes that they use in the recipe. Yes.
Maybe it
does make a difference. I've had it, though, in other places, and it's always been good as far as I'm concerned. But and I was just shocked that you had never had it. But
and it's one pie we don't do at the diner.
No, it's not really a diner type of pie. No, it's not like your traditional apple or blueberry or lemon meringue. I know you don't like it, Jeannie, but I do.
I love the
lemon meringue at the Red Arrow. I do. I order it every Thanksgiving.
You do?
I do. Mm. I do. A whole pie. Not that I eat the whole thing.
Oh, okay.
Although I've attempted it.
The last person I saw eating mass quantities of food at the Red Arrow was
this guy
right here. J-Dog
guilty
ordered like three different breakfasts and ate all of them
on Black Friday.
And it took more than half the diner table.
Oh,
Carol,
my gosh.
And he ate the whole thing.
I worked it off though, because I had, later on that night I was at the I was doing the UNH women's hockey PA announcing. So
that's not much exercise.
It is when you're like shouting and screaming
and
goals
are
scored.
And
jumping
up and down.
Jumping, you know, hey.
It's never done me that much good.
You look good though, J-Dog.
Thank you.
He
does, doesn't
he?
He
does
an amazing shape.
I'm getting ready for a wedding to go to in October, and I'm still ready to get in shape. I'm waiting for the spring and summer because I'm going to be running and lifting all the time. So.
That's right. Your friend is getting married.
Yes, Mike Brodeur is getting married in Maine in October, and I've told him, why on earth are you getting married in either Game 3 or Game 4 of the World Series? Because what happens? Now, what happens if the Red Sox do play in the World Series? And he's a big Red Sox guy. He is missing out on Game 3 or 4 of the World Series just so he can say, I do. But he couldn't postpone it until November?
Wow.
And what happens if my Indians are in it?
Well, maybe the fiancé had something to do with that. Who knows? I mean, come on.
She does have some kind of a say in this.
Postpone it to November. There you go.
No.
I don't know.
Well, is Mike as large a sports fan as you are, J-Dog?
Yes, he is.
He is.
Absolutely. No?
I don't know.
Yes,
as big as you?
Yeah.
I don't know. There aren't too many of those out there.
Maybe I'm embellishing a little bit.
I think you are.
A little bit.
I think so.
A little bit. But he's never had alligator either, so maybe he has. I don't know.
Do you have a date for the wedding, J-Dog?
Nope, going alone.
We can work on that.
I think we should. I think between these two shows, between
caller.
Your show and our show, we should work on somebody.
I'm going alone.
To audition to be J-Dog's date.
Oh, yes.
Really? I think that would be interesting. I really do.
Come up with something.
They have to go through all kinds of endurance challenges, though.
For the wedding.
They have to go through endurance challenges. They have to. They have to outrun me.
It's a family show.
No.
We don't want to get into that here.
They have to outrun me on the track. They have to run 24 steps.
They need to juice.
That's right. They need to not juice like steroids. No, folks. Juice fruits and veggies, my friends. Yes. That's right. Because some people
a proponent of them?
No, they'll accuse me of that kind of juicing. And No. I am au naturel.
Oh my goodness.
Body by Gator.
J-Dog au naturel. Yeah.
Body by Gator. There you go. Like it said on that menu that I told you. So there you go. But you've never had alligator either, right?
I have tried it.
And
I
you thought it was okay?
Jim from Healthy Buffalo had brought it in.
Yes.
And It was okay.
Not a big fan, folks. Not a big fan.
And you know, I was having a dinner party. Remember, you know about this.
Yes.
A dinner party a couple weeks after. So I went to Healthy Buffalo and I said, you know, I want to do something a little exotic for, you know, for an appetizer. And he suggested the alligator. So he gave me the container of it. Mm-hmm. And he told me exactly how to do it. He said, it's very easy. Just slice it and da-da-da. Do you know that when I got it home and I took it out of the container, I couldn't even touch it. It was so ugly looking.
It was ugly.
Really? I couldn't touch it. I swear to God, we didn't eat the alligator. I couldn't. It was so awful. I don't know.
Could have shipped it to Bo. There you go. I would have taken it off your hands.
Wow.
Yeah, there you go. I guess I had to try it in Florida just for the sake of trying it in Florida. So,
of course.
But now I'm hooked on it, and it's healthier too. So, from what I heard, it's a leaner protein.
It definitely is.
So you know what's even healthier though is to wrestle the alligator, kill it yourself, it's super fresh, and you can take it there.
Maybe you can take the gator to the wedding. There you go.
We'll find somebody.
I don't know if I want to.
What's the date again?
I think it's like October 24th.
Like? What do you mean like?
You probably kind of need to know.
If anybody knows, it's you.
Ken, I want to thank you.
My pleasure.
I want to thank you for coming on, and I want to congratulate you on your 500th show.
I appreciate that very much.
And who do you have coming up right now singing?
We have a couple of young people who won a number of awards in the New Hampshire Country Music it was a contest back in November, I believe, and now they're going on to Nashville.
Oh, my gosh, that's fantastic. So up next, Kale & Company. We'll be right back.